The following is a paid program. The content has been provided by Glazer and Associates. WFTL, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Some of the opinions and endorsements provided herein were in exchange for compensation from Glazer and Associates.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 a.m. on 850 WFTL in South Florida. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Plan Development Law. That's huge. There's only just like a couple hundred of attorneys in the state that are board certified, and he is. And his firm has offices in Fort Lauderdale and satellite offices in Orlando and Tallahassee, and we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy nuts from 1 minute to the next. And we'd love to get those phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions, no matter where you are in the state. Give us a call right here in the studio, toll-free, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
All right. Good morning, everybody. If you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, make sure to go to our website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list. By joining each week, you're going to get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a lot more. There are about 8,000 of you on that list now. As you know, we do a blog every single Monday morning. Great way to research your topic, by the way. Something special going on in your community, you could rest assured we previously blogged about it. And you can find that blog again every Monday morning at hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, the fine line of being a good board member. Interesting, I promise. Right. Anybody can be a board member,
yes,
but the idea is to be a good board member, right?
Oh, man.
So we had a week off. It's great to be back after a week.
Did you have a nice one?
I did. I actually did. And before we get going, though, I want to thank Greg Waltz from MacMac and Waltz for being our guest on our last show and teaching everybody all the time, really, what we need to know about insurance. As hurricane season kicked in yesterday, right? And believe it or not, you look, you see there's something already brewing in the Gulf of Mexico. Incredible. And I also want to thank everybody who attended the Glazer and Sachs second annual night out with the judges at Dave and Buster's last week. We had seven Broward County judges on stage. It's like they were sworn in. They were on the witness stand answering questions from our Condo Craze audience.
Did anybody perjure themselves?
No. And believe me, it was a unique, it was a fun experience. And I want to, of course, thank all the judges that participated. Now, let's name those judges. They were Alan Marks, Robert Lee, Stacy Ross, Kathleen McCarthy, Gina Hawkins, Michelle Tobin-Singer, and Natasha DePrimo. To all of you, I want to say thank you so much for giving of your free time and coming out and meeting our Condo Craze audience and answering all the questions. It was really wonderful. Again, very, very unique. And so many of them, Karen, they shared their own personal life experiences and the battles that they had to go through and conquer to get where they are today.
Right, right.
Some were even speaking about the stress. And I brought this up in one of my questions. We're seeing, and maybe it's not just specific to you know, lawyers, but we're seeing a tremendous amount of lawyers and judges, unfortunately, potentially committing suicide.
What?
Having tremendous issues in terms of stress and the profession. Yeah, we lost one of the great lawyers here in Florida a couple of months ago to suicide. And you're starting to see the stresses of the profession really come through much more than we'd like.
Are you feeling okay?
Yep, absolutely, sure. But I can tell you it's becoming, you know, a significant issue. And again, not just in law, but it's becoming a significant issue in the profession. And you know, we asked some judges about it. Why do they think it's happening? And some really shared a lot of their personal experiences and said, yes, the stress of the profession was causing tremendous amount of marital strife, almost resulting in a divorce. And it was just wonderful to see the judges really telling you about their own life struggles, their own life's problems, and you know, just how difficult the job can actually be. They were very, very open with our audience, and it was something very much appreciated.
Wow, that is really out of the blue. I didn't expect that at all. So, what about telling us how they felt about the political issues and the other hot button topics like abortion. Boy, that is really blown up.
Yeah, sure.
Death penalty or even politicians. What did they say?
You know, and now you know why I can never actually become a judge or function as a judge, because to their credit, none of them on that stage would answer any of those particular questions regarding any of those issues, because they can't be perceived as being biased toward a particular position, right? They feel that if they take a position, they may later be forced to recuse themselves from a case where that issue is ultimately before them.
But they asked Kavanaugh.
And you see they don't actually answer these questions.
Well, he says it's settled law.
Right, exactly. That's really much the only thing I can say. How they did answer the questions on stage was basically by saying, look, we do have personal opinions. We're not going to tell you what those personal opinions are. However, we understand that our job is to enforce the law, you know, and go with precedent. So that's how they basically answer the question. So, you know, they stay silent when it comes to commenting on politics, politicians, and other, you know, social justice issues. So the irony is, you know, judges whose job it is to protect your right to free speech,
right?
They actually give up their own right to free speech when they decided to wear that robe. Now, if that's something that works for them, wonderful. But those of you who know me, you know, I'm not built that way. And I can't stay silent when it comes to things like, you know, illegal immigration, building a wall, right? Abortion in the ninth month, sanctuary cities, well, then, Israel.
Yeah, like that judge that, you know, allegedly let the illegal immigrant out the back door while the ICE guy was in the lobby.
You saw that? And that judge was arrested. Right?
Yeah, but she turned down a plea deal.
She did turn it down.
They said,
really?
You could have your life back. You could stay on the bench. She says, no.
And she turned it down?
Turned it down.
She rolled the dice. Let's see where it goes. But, you know, if I were forced to hold in my feelings about all of those issues, I think, you know, my head would literally
explode.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. In terms of being a judge, there's always two ways in Florida, right?
Yeah, and you can get appointed by the governor here if you want to become a judge. That's one way. And the other way, I don't like, and a lot of people don't like, and it's actually by getting elected.
Ugh.
I hate the fact, judges have to
that
campaign.
That should not be political, yeah.
I hate it. And they wind up, judges have to go out and get donations from people. And the thinking is, you know, once they get these donations, does it create an appearance that at least the people who donate to the judge's campaign have a better shot if and when they show up in front of that judge later on? And it creates, you know, a lot of problems. And I hate the fact that judges actually have to campaign here. It's just, it's demeaning to the process, at least in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. And the truth is, the average person knows nothing about the person running to be judge. I know
right.
when I go in there to vote, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Of course.
And because they can't post their views, like you said, on so many topics, the public is really electing somebody that they know absolutely nothing about, which is, why bother?
Exactly. And this was actually discussed at the seminar, because somebody asked, how can we vote for a judge? How can we vote for you if you can't actually tell us what your views are on these issues? And one judge answered, well, the best we can do is give you our resume, and you can see previously where we worked and what kind of clubs and organizations we worked with, and that should basically tell you a lot about us, you know. And I actually think, you know, while the governor should certainly have the ability to appoint some judges, perhaps the members of the Florida Bar should have more of a say. But, you know, we're the ones that work with the attorneys all day long. We know who's perhaps qualified and who isn't. But for now, it stays the way it is. And for those of you who may not know this, Governor Santis started out as governor in this state a few months ago with an absolutely amazing, unique, incredible opportunity. You know, Florida has a mandatory retirement law for judges. Now, think about this, Karen. On the day that DeSantis took office, we have a seven-member Supreme Court in Florida.
Yeah,
he put three in right away, three out of seven positions.
Whoa.
I mean, that's amazing. Three were forced out because of age, and it's not just any three. It's perceived that these three were perhaps the three most liberal members of the Florida Supreme Court. And, of course, DeSantis replaced these three liberal justices with what he obviously believes will be three conservative-style justices. So now I can tell you it is widely perceived in legal circles that, without a doubt, Florida has perhaps the most conservative Supreme Court in the entire United States.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that is amazing.
Yeah, pretty amazing. DeSantis hit the jackpot.
Yeah, he really did.
Well,
sort of President Trump, because like you said,
right,
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she was gambling that Hillary would win.
Exactly.
And so now he might get three as well.
He might get three, exactly. And you never know. Things come up, or it might even be more than three. You never know. But let's do this. Let's take our first break of the hour. The phones are already ringing, whether or not you want to talk about the judiciary, condo laws, HOA laws, whatever's on your mind today. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Condominium Concepts Management puts your condo's interests first. Condominium Concepts negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all the savings are passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help, not take control of your association. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time when every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye for reducing expenses for every unit owner. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping the communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sack, specializing in community association law. If you have a question, he has an answer. And it's free, and it's toll-free to call 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, who's going to kick it off today? How about Joe and Boynton? How are you, Joe?
Good morning, Eric and crew.
Good morning.
I have a simple question. Coach lights, the lights on the outside of the house next to the garage door.
Yeah.
Can the community make it mandatory to have those lights on from dawn to dusk? From dusk to dawn?
Let's put it this way. Can the board impose it by rule? Probably not. But because of a case called Woodside versus Jaron, right? So Florida Supreme Court case. It involved a condo, but there's no reason why the same type of ruling wouldn't apply for HOAs. Basically, that court said if you get 75% of the people in a condo, in other words, let's say it takes 75% to amend your governing documents, Joe, right? In your case, it may take two-thirds. It may take a majority. But the court is basically saying if you can get the community to agree on something and put it in your governing documents, as long as you're basically not violating somebody's fundamental constitutional rights, then yes, you can put it in your documents, and yes, you can require people to keep your coach lights on at dusk until the morning. No problem, but I don't think you'd be able to do it by rule. I certainly think you'd be able to do it if you amended your declaration.
So the DCC&Rs, or you amend the DCC&Rs with the community favorable vote, it would be their responsibility, and they'd be in violation if they don't have the lights on.
That's exactly right. And you'd be able to, if it was in your declaration, you'd be able to force them to do it. You'd be able to get a court order requiring them to do it. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you have a great day, Joe.
Keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. How about we go to Wally in Lake Worth?
Yeah, good morning, Eric. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My question concerns the condominium association I live in Lake Worth. We have in the docs a statement that the homeowners are not allowed to have any pets, no pets. Now, naturally, the exclusion, there would be an exclusion for legitimate service dogs.
Right.
But now countless people now, some with more than one dog, are claiming that these dogs are emotional support animals. What recourse do we have at all, if any?
Karen, have you heard of anything like this?
No.
No, this is brand new.
No, yeah, it's not a hot button topic.
Yeah, you know, Wally, this is a problem that's plaguing a lot of communities right now. No pet communities, and I can tell you. So, you know, what do these people need to show? So, you want to typically wind up getting a note from them. So, the first thing that they have to show is that they suffer from a disability. All right. A disability meaning they suffer from an inability to basically breathe properly, work properly, hear, see.
So what you're saying, you can't
function.
Just have a doctor write a letter?
Yeah, but the note has to show two things. A, that the letter has to show that the person is actually suffering from a disability. And part two is that pet somehow alleviates that disability and makes it possible for the owner to use and enjoy the dwelling. Now, let's say you don't get something like that. You don't get that note. So you can say, listen, we want more reliable documentation. Can't ask them specifically for a doctor's note. Can't ask them for access to medical records. But you can ask them for reliable documentation. And what you want to make sure is that you continue to engage with them. Because if you just say basically no right off the bat, then you can wind up as a defendant in a federal courtroom because you failed to engage in the interactive process with them. And that's pretty important because that's what federal law requires, that you engage in an interactive process with them. So the reality is, yes, are some of these people faking it? Of course they're faking it. You know, and I preface this by saying, are there people out there who definitely need emotional support animals? Sure, the best case examples are soldiers who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and these pets are in fact prescribed to them for a worthy, you know, reliable cause. But are there people that are faking it? Of course there are people that are faking it. Problem for the association is, in order to prove that they're faking it, right, they got to spend some money. These cases to prosecute are very expensive. Sometimes, believe it or not, it might be better if the association gets sued, because when you pass it on to your carrier, the carrier is at least defending you. It's not really costing you money. But when you're prosecuting, it could cost thousands. You know, one funny incident, I'll tell you, who's to blame for a lot of this? The doctors who think they're just doing their patients a favor by writing these notes. So I'll give you an example. Had a case where a doctor wrote a note for a patient that needed a pet. And about 2 years later, I took the doctor's deposition. I subpoenaed the patient's chart, and there wasn't a single note in that chart regarding whether or not that dog has been working for the last 2 years. You know, doctors are required to update their medical records, and I knew that the doctor saw the patient several times in the last 2 years, but not once since writing that note indicated whether or not that dog was actually helping. So I asked the doc, now, how come there's not a note in here about whether or not the dog is working after you wrote that prescription letter? I don't know. Doc, did you ever see the dog? No. Doc, did you ever see the patient interact with the dog? No. True story. Doc, before I walked into this room to take your deposition, I noticed a sign on your door that said, no dogs allowed. Right? Can you imagine? You can't make this up, right? Would you allow the dog into this room that you prescribed for your patient? No, I wouldn't. Doc, why did you write the damn note? What do you want from me? I wrote the note because I knew the patient for a while. She wanted to keep her dog. And that's what's happening in a lot of these cases. So what do I always think? And I can tell you, not only me, but some other attorneys think that the way this might go down this might change is if a doctor gets in trouble. And,
yeah,
that's what I think is going to happen, that a doctor winds up getting in trouble, or that an association who winds up spending tens of thousands of dollars because of a ridiculous note that a doctor writes, you know, winds up suing that doctor somehow. That's when all of this will stop.
Didn't you get one for Goofy or Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, one time before. These online ones are totally ridiculous. They charge you $49, and one time before a court hearing, I registered a dog by the name of Pluto for his owner, Mickey Mouse, for $49.99 and brought it to court. So that's how silly, that's how ridiculous is that this is, and that's the difference between a service animal and an emotional support animal is even worse, because a service animal, at least you have to show that that service animal has some training. The difference with an emotional support animal is no training required whatsoever. That's why an emotional support animal, you're seeing insane things. It could be an emotional support turkey.
Peacock,
right? Frog,
oh,
turtle,
mon
whatever.
Dieu.
And the airlines are starting to crack down now for the first time.
Well,
they're limiting it to dogs or cats, I believe. So you're finally starting to see the airlines fight back a little. But, you know, Wally, to answer your question, there is no simple answer. Sometimes associations just dig in their heels and say, that's it. No matter what it costs, no matter what it takes on this one, we're fighting back. And that's what they do, and we've had that before. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. And I hope that answers your question.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate it very much, Eric. Thank you now.
You got it. How about we go to John in Lake Park?
Hello.
Hey, John. How are you?
Hey, Eric. How you doing? Eric, I'm on the Board of Governors, and I'm the president in Lake Worth, one of the condos there. And we're tossing around whether we should do we presently do the component method for reserves,
yeah.
And there's also a pooling method, but we do the component method. Which one would you recommend?
Okay, I can tell you that generally, if most of your major repairs are well out into the future, right? In other words, your roof, you know, things like that, you would have an accountant do it for you, because sometimes it gets a little confusing. But you'll probably wind up saving money by doing the pooling method of reserves, because some things won't even have to be calculated into the analysis, right? Because they're so far off into the future. Not only that, of course, the beauty with the pooling method is that as long as you're reserving for that item in the pool, you don't have to worry about whether or not you're running short in that category. You can wind up taking any of the money in that category. But the only caution I will give you is that sometimes associations are wrong, and they think that just because we're using the pooling method, anything that goes wrong in the community, we can pay off with the money that's in the pool. And I'll tell you where they're wrong.
Right.
Suppose, for example, you have 10 things that you're putting in that pool for, and it does not include the front gate for the community. Okay? It does not include the front gate. Now your front gate to the community breaks. Now, a lot of boards think that, hey, just because we're using the pooling method, we can go to that pooled money and take out the money that's in there to pay for the now broken gate. And the answer is no, you can't, because you weren't putting money in that pool to begin with for the front gate.
Right.
So you got to be careful.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. I wish you a lot of luck, John.
Thank you very much.
You got it.
Thank you.
All right, let's do this. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. keep those calls coming, everybody. Keep Karen and I on our toes. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225. Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association. Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. And if you'd like to ask him a question about anything condo, HOA, or co-op related, something that's making you crazy in your development, please give us a call toll-free, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585, and you're getting back on the road again.
We sure are, Karen. Before you know it, the election season is going to be back in South Florida, actually all through the state for both condos and HOAs. And remember, you have to get certified either 1 year before getting on a board, within 90 days after becoming on board. And we're about to start, what, like our 11th season this year. And one way of getting certified, take our popular Condo Craze and HOA's board certification class. You know, I've said it like 15,000. I'm using that number for a long time. It's probably closer to 20,000 now that we've actually taught all throughout the
state. Wow.
And, of course, our class gives two 2019 legal update credits for all community association managers that attend. And believe it or not, our schedule is out for the fall. So if you want to get a jump and register early, here we go. I'll start us off.
Woo!
We are going to be everywhere, Karen. October 2nd in Broward at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo.
Palm Beach on October 8th. You'll be right here at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo.
2 days later, Miami Beach at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo. And that, by the way, is going to be at the new Miami Beach Convention Center. Should be nice.
Wow, very nice. And then yes. Naples, October 11th at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo.
That's the next day. Wow, and October is going to be nuts.
What is with you?
You're right. 6 days later, October 17th, Bradenton, Florida at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo, Bradenton Convention Center.
And then you're in Orlando the next day. That's all right. That's
this is like a cruel joke.
Yeah. Did you have any say in this?
No, obviously I didn't. Right.
October 18th at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo.
And October 23rd in Tampa at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo, Tampa Convention Center. So look at this. Broward, Palm Beach, Miami, Naples, Bradenton, Orlando, and Tampa, all in a three-week period.
You're
this
the best.
This is going to be nuts.
Eric invented this class. He was the first attorney to ever teach it in the state, got it approved by the DBPR, and he teaches so many different topics at the seminar. If you've even been to one before, it's free. He feeds you, and you don't want to sign those silly documents. You'll learn something each time you go, including the importance of the from-time-to-time language, official records, the different types of documents that govern your community, service and emotional support animals, we just talked about those, collections, manager responsibilities, all of the new laws that were passed this year, and a lot more. Food is served, as I said. It's delicious. Everyone walks out with a frameable, nice certificate. He even gives you the notes from what he told you. You don't even have to take notes. And certainly, you exit much wiser.
Yeah, to register everybody, just go to CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com. Again, CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com. All right, back to the phones. How about we go to John in Dania Beach. How are you, John?
Yes, good morning, Eric. Good morning, Karen.
Hey.
Quick question. The annual, and this is for a condo and an HOA.
John, you got to talk into the phone. We're losing you, buddy.
Okay. You got me better now?
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit better?
Yep, okay. There we go.
The annual meeting, the notice of the annual meeting where elections are taking place, is there a requirement that that notice be mailed, or will email suffice?
No, email does not suffice. Email only suffices to those people who have agreed in advance to receive notification by email. So most people have not. So therefore, not only does it have to be mailed to everybody, but it's got to be posted 14 consecutive days as well in a conspicuous place for the community to see. So email does not cut it.
I'm sorry.
Email won't cut it.
And that goes for condos and HOAs.
That's correct. HOAs, I got to check the statute. HOAs, basically the procedures are governed by what's in your HOA documents. But for condos, it's got to be posted up there 14 days in advance. Got to check what your HOA documents say in terms of how proper notice is to be given. Okay, a little different when it comes to HOAs.
Much. Appreciate it.
Okay, you got it. As a matter of fact, we got an email just now from a, guy by the name of Refovich in Davie, Florida, and he writes in, along those same lines a little bit, I'd like to know what reason an annual meeting and election can be moved from March when the documents say June, right? From March, and the documents say March, and they want to move it to June. So there's actually a Florida, I think it's a third DCA case that came out, I want to say, about a year ago. And the answer to your question is it can't be moved. The court took the position that you have to have your annual meeting on the exact date that it says in the bylaws of your community. Why? If you don't have the annual meeting on the exact date that it mentions in your community, it's as if the board unilaterally amended the governing documents. No? Right? I mean, technically, if you're using a different date, then in effect, the board amended the governing documents. And the board can't amend the governing documents. That's typically done by a vote of the unit owners. So bottom line, every board, and this applies for both condos and HOAs, you must have your annual meeting on the date as mentioned in your governing documents. Now, some documents give you some leeway, and they say, okay, the annual meeting does not need to be held on a very specific date, like the second Tuesday of February of each year. Some say as long as it's held within 12 or 13 months since the last annual meeting. So you do have some leeway. But if it mentions a specific date in your governing documents, well, that's the date that you have to hold it. Okay? All right, who else we got? We got Tom. How are you, Tom?
How are you?
Okay, how can we help?
Well, I'd like to ask you a question about end-of-the-year financial reports.
Okay.
Now, I understand that the condo has to support, report this to, an auditor.
Okay, and all depends. All depends.
The auditor does his thing, and right. Within 120 days, it has to be sent out, or you allow the people to come into the office and view the end-of-the-year financial report. But what happens when the auditor doesn't send it back? Can you get an extension on reporting?
Okay. The answer is no. The bottom line is how this works, and I'm going to assume for the purpose of this discussion that everybody's annual reporting, or you run your finances, you run your fiscal year as you do the calendar year. So meaning that your fiscal year runs from January 1st to December 31st. So basically what the statute says, by the end of March, by March 30th, you have to be at least under contract to do your year-end financial report with somebody who's qualified to do it, like a CPA. The type of year-end financial report that you prepare depends upon the size of your budget, right? Over $500,000, you have to do an audit. Between 3 and 5, you have to do a review. Anything less than that, it's basically a compilation. Okay, so that got to be under contract by March. Now, by the end of April, it's got to be done, finished, completed, and you have to let the people in your community know that it's completed. You don't have to send it to them, but you do, in fact, have to let them know that the report is finished, it's ready, and they have a right to come see it in the office, or they have a right to ask that it be mailed to them at no charge. You do have to let them know that it's ready. Now, the question is, can you ask for an extension? No. The bottom line is that's when it's due, and I tell people this at the seminars all the time. Generally speaking, to their credit, the DBPR, if the association is in violation of any rule, regulation, they don't want to hurt the community. They really don't. They'd rather teach the board of directors the way to do things correctly
right.
Going forward.
Makes sense.
There is an exception to that, however. And, Tom, you hit that one exception. That exception is when the board fails to timely have their year-end financial reports done.
Ah.
When that happens, that's a signal to the DBPR that the board may not want the community to know what's going on with the financing. So they will hit the association all the time, routinely, with thousands of dollars in fines and penalties. So I can't urge associations enough. Get your ducks in a row. Get that year-end financial report done timely. And you raised a point about waiving. The unit owners have the right to waive. Now, to tell you and clarify, that right to waive the year-end financial report, that vote by the unit owners has to take place for that particular year. So, for example, let's say you haven't done your 2018 audit yet, and now you say, it's going to cost a few thousand dollars. Let's take a vote of the unit owners to waive it. Sorry, too late. That vote to waive had to take place in the 2018 calendar year because it was for the 2018 year-end report. So it's too late to waive it. So now you're stuck. The division will hit you with penalties. Do not let this happen at your community. If there's one thing as a board you got to take seriously, it's the obligation to file year-end financial reports. But we got to take our final break of the hour. Guys, only a few minutes left for us to take your calls. You got a lawyer who's not on the clock today. Take advantage. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be right back after this.
tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Here's Jeff and Jonathan from Sherlock Tree.
Do your trees on your property look like a mess? Are they unsightly and overgrown? At Sherlock Tree Company, we know you're tired of going from company to company, hoping to find the one that gets it. At Sherlock Tree Company, we get it.
I'm Jonathan, the head arborist at Sherlock Tree Company. We've been here in South Florida since 1974, serving the Tri-County area. Our entire team is first class. We are committed to the long-term health and wellness of your trees. Please call me or any one of our other certified arborists at 954-788-4000.
Sherlock Tree has state-of-the-art equipment that is ready for action the minute we roll up on your job and what you've hired us for. Our large staff does residential, commercial, and large HOA work for some of the most notable properties in South Florida. Whether it's trimming or pruning, tree removal, new tree installation, or even if you want a whole new look, Sherlock Tree won't quit unless you are completely satisfied.
Call me, Jonathan, at Sherlock Tree Company at 954-788-4000. Check us out on the web at SherlockTree.com. That's SherlockTree.com.
Is your condo or HOA paying too much to heat the pool or spa? If so, now's the time to switch to geothermal technology with Symbiont Service Corporation. Geothermal technology with Symbiont Service is eco-friendly, green technology that harnesses the energy stored beneath the Earth's surface to heat and cool your swimming pool. Geothermal technology not only helps you reduce your carbon footprint, but rest assured, you can't beat geothermal for reliability and performance. It's even unaffected by air temperature. Best of all, Symbiont Service's geothermal Geothermal Solution heats like gas at a fraction of the cost and with a serviceable life expectancy of 15 to 20 years, which is 2 to 3 times as long as conventional pool heaters or more. And get this, geothermal technology by Symbiont Service can actually cool your pool in the summer months. Symbiont Service serves the entire state of Florida. Go geothermal now. Find out how Symbiont Service can heat or cool your pool and save you money. Call Symbiont Service at 800-881-4328. That's 800-881-4328. And to learn more about Symbiont Service...
Welcome back to the final part of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I am Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs. He does specialize in community association law. He is taking your phone calls and emails about anything you want to ask him. It's free advice on a toll-free number, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right. In the few minutes we got left, how about we go to Debbie in Boca?
Or you, maybe even you can.
Hello, Debbie.
Because, yes, hi.
Debbie, how are you?
Okay.
How can we help?
So I'm a director on my board, recently new director, and our president has gotten a little out of control with our expenditures. Our attorney fees have like tripled from last year. Our miscellaneous repairs have doubled from $65,000 to $125,000. Legal fees went from $40,000 to $70,000.
Wow.
Basically, she's sort of taken over. She's now out of the country a lot. She's hardly ever here. Nothing's getting done. Work is not getting overseen. She charges for her phone bill, which is $3,000, within the budget for this year, $3,000. Picking up her roaming fees from the Caribbean. Yeah, it's bad. It's beyond bad. She's not getting, she's been using the same people to do these miscellaneous repairs, which, they charge us $1,200 for oil stains. Recently, somebody soiled in one of the washing machines. They charged us, and we ran it through bleach, and they charged us we just got a bill, $1,100. I'm not even sure. They don't even break it down, basically. $1,100 to clean.
Yeah.
It's basically, bottom line, it's out of control. And I'm in the process of trying to recall her as a director, so I'm trying to get signatures on a form from her building to... you know, recall her as director, and that would take her off. But is there any other recourse? Do you have any other suggestions?
Sure. Karen, the only thing I liked was the fact that she said legal fees are out of control. See, that I didn't have a problem with. That was okay. I like that. All right, no, all kidding aside, how about removing her as president? Can you do that? In other words,
how do I do that?
How many directors are there on your board?
So there's 14 buildings, although I think there's only 13 because I think there's one missing. But
okay, let's say there's 13 directors on your board. How many of the 13 would agree to remove?
Oh, no, I know what you're saying. We did that. We've done everything possible. So what we did, we tried to persuade. There's been these directors on there forever that whatever she says,
right.
I don't know how she got this much power. We can't figure it out. And I as years went by, I started seeing our fees going up and up and up. And last year when I got the financial report, the budget report, I said, okay, I got to get involved.
Right.
And so we tried to persuade some of these other directors to call a meeting and reorganize the board. And then
so it's not going to happen, bottom line. Okay,
nope.
So bottom line's not going to happen. One thing I can tell you that you know makes the hair on your neck stand up a little bit is you indicated that she was getting reimbursed $3,000 for telephone calls that she was making.
Yeah, what is that?
That's theft.
I have the receipt.
What that is,
that's
theft is what it is. I mean, that's the bottom line. So I can tell you if you reported that to the DBPR, that's something that they will absolutely 100% investigate. She should not be getting reimbursed, you know, her telephone bills, and that might create a problem. And if it creates a criminal problem, not saying it definitely will, but if it did create a criminal problem, I can tell you that's one way to remove a person from a board if they get arrested for taking association funds. and you're automatically removed. And I don't know if that's going to happen here, but I can tell you, is it possible that that may be considered a criminal offense? Yes, it certainly may very well be considered a criminal offense, and that's something, you know, I might want to follow up with, okay?
Yeah, that's on my list to write a letter to the department.
Yeah, and they may suggest that you submit it, you know, to up the chain to, like, the police department. Because, again, shouldn't be getting reimbursed for personal expenses like that. Okay?
Well, this is what she's saying. She's saying she's using
for work
the phone for business, for association business. But it shouldn't be...
No, should not be getting reimbursed for those expenses.
When you're out of the country, you leave the phone here. You leave it for the vice president. And,
you want to serve? That should be on your dime. Okay? Thanks for the call, Debbie. How about we go to George? How are you, George?
Eric, good morning. First of all, thank you. The session in Naples at the end of March was fantastic.
Thank you very much. Glad you enjoyed it.
If Jimmy Stewart were still alive, he could star in Mr. Glazer Goes to Tallahassee.
But, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Quick question on the amendments from time to time, and I'll try and be very simple on this. Let's say that the declarations that were done in, say, 2000 did not have the as amended time to time. And in 2001, the legislature passed, as you put it, a substantive change, not a procedural one, but a substantive one. And then in 2002, the declarations were amended to include the as amended from time to time. Does that just go forward, or does that automatically pick up the one that the legislature did the year before?
It will automatically pick it up. In other words, in 2002, when you amend your declaration, right, the unit owners would vote and say, okay, we're adopting the Florida Condominium Act as it exists now and as it will be amended from time to time. So when you adopt it in 2002, you would pick up that 2001 substantive law change. Okay, so you can do that now.
Great.
Yeah, and that's what we suggest.
And then one other quick one. Has anything been thought about with regard to clarifying the recall process for HOA boards or condo boards?
The recall statute right now. Yeah, I think for recall statutes, for HOAs, it's pretty much the way it used to be, where the association, I believe right now the way it's drafted, the association still has the obligation of, if they're not going to certify the recall, they have the obligation of filing the recall arbitration petition in Tallahassee. For condos, it's different. In condos right now, if the board decides not to certify the recall, the recalled owners are the one that now has to file. The recalled members of the board have to file that arbitration petition. Or the members who actually started the recall. The association no longer has the obligation in a condo to file the arbitration action, whereas in the HOA, the association still has the obligation to file. So right now, condos
thank
and HOAs are not in sync.
Yeah.
You got it, okay?
Yeah, if the board doesn't even have a meeting to either certify or not certify, then the recall becomes automatic.
Bingo. That's exactly right. In both scenarios.
And then that puts the burden on the recall board member or board members to sort of
to now file. That's exactly right. Okay.
That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, that's the way it is. We've been trying to get this fixed for a while, but there's been some little fight back in Tallahassee. Certain things weren't broken. You got it. Certain things were not broken and didn't need to be fixed, and I thought the recall statute was one of them. Right now, as a matter of fact, the way the recall statute reads, if the unit owners serve what's called facially valid ballots, then the board basically has no defense, but nobody defined what the word facially valid ballots are. Suppose you have, in a 100-unit community, you serve the board with 51 ballots. They look valid, but then when you look a little closer, one is signed by Mickey Mouse, one is signed by Donald Duck, another is signed by Pluto. Are they facially valid? I don't know. Are they? There's no definition of what facially valid is under the statute. And there seems to be like, nope, you don't even have the right to question if those people are unit owners. They look right, therefore you have to approve it. Does that sound right? Does that sound rational to anybody? Of course not. But until this is actually determined by an arbitrator or a court, it remains to be seen. All right, how about we go to Angela in the 2 minutes we got left? How are you, Angela?
Hi there. Let me briefly tell you what happened, and then if there's anything we can do. The county plowed down a bunch of trees my mother had planted on her canal bank with no problem from the HOA. It destroyed her quality of life. She likes to sit there and look out. She's only 99. And a certain degree of security and privacy, right, because there are houses on the other side. They've now given her a very short list of things she can plant. They've become much more, whatever, picky about that since she planted those years ago. Is there anything we can do?
So you're saying the county comes around out of the clear blue sky and removes trees that she planted? That is so unusual.
Yes.
Are you trying to tell me without any warning whatsoever?
That's a good question. On the day of, there was a tiny flag way down the canal bank, which we were told was notice. I don't think that's good notice. Secondly, I get a very confused answer from the board as to whether they received any notice. But the bottom line is no. My mother, no one else, no other homeowner received notice.
This land that the trees were actually sitting on, is it owned by your mother or was it owned by the HOA?
Evidently, it was an easement. It was under an easement to the county, water district, or whoever else needed to attend to it.
Okay, so then an easement for maybe right of access, but why an easement to cut down the trees? Were the trees in the way of them getting access to whatever they needed to get access to?
They seem to think that palm fronds falling off the palm trees might at some point clog up the canal and affect water drainage.
Right.
I'm not aware. I never saw anything or heard anything like that. I have nothing but their word that that was their concern.
Yeah. And that easement, was it located on HOA property or was it located on your mom's property?
HOA. Evidently, her actual property doesn't go very far
so,
from her sidewalk.
So believe it or not, and I hate to tell a 99-year-old mother this, grandmother this, but she probably has no cause of action because whatever it was did not occur on her property, even though she was basically the beneficiary of those trees. So I don't think
right.
she's really
okay.
much she can do about it. Okay.
As far as the limited number of plants that the association now says she can plant, is that just a board matter? We'll try to change their mind?
If you can try to change their mind, fine. But what you want to do is make sure you're not planting something that's going to be removed again. You don't want to go through this process.
Right.
So not only should it be okay with the HOA, you want to make sure it's okay with the county.
Like cannabis.
Okay? Yeah, right. Angela, I wish you and Mom a lot of luck. Okay, thanks for calling in. And that brings us to the end of another show. Today seems to have gone very
fast. It did,
right?
Oh, my goodness.
Flying. The calls were flying. I just want to remind everybody, of course, if you need legal assistance off the air, not just during the show, you can give Glazer and Sachs a call, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. Karen, I want to wish you, and of course, Elliot, I want to wish you, a wonderful, happy, and healthy, safe week ahead.
You too, buddy.
Same thing to all of our listeners. And, of course, we'll speak to you again next Sunday at 11 a.m. here on 850 WFTL on Condo Craze and HOAs. Everybody have a safe and wonderful week.
Thank you.